Awesome. Good morning, everybody. My name's Jeff, discipleship pastor here at Adventure, and I probably know most of you, and I met you guys this morning already, so cool. Well, glad to have you join in the worship this morning, and the message as we continue in our series, Radiant, and we've been talking for the last few weeks about the topic of boundaries in our lives. We took a look at how Jesus operated with the structure of boundaries and just kind of some areas where he's like, I'm not going to cross this line. This is my responsibility to you, and now you have the responsibility to meet me there. And then we talked about boundaries with ourself, and maybe even just last week, BJ talking about our workplace, you know, and the amount of work maybe that we're willing to do or not do, and how we function within a work setting with boundaries. And this morning, we're going to look at parenting. And before you check out and say, okay, well, I'm past that stage, or I'm not even in that stage, or I want to say that the message this morning is relevant for everybody here for a few reasons. Most of us are either the children of parents, or we are parents, or both, but also how this relates to our relationship with God. So before we get into that a little bit more, I know that there are some obvious reasons for boundaries, right? There's kind of just the natural chaos that comes when there aren't boundaries. Want to take a look at just a picture of what happens when there's no boundaries. So in this movie, Daddy Daycare, these two dads were out of work, okay? It's probably the cleanest Eddie Murphy movie you can watch. But it has a really good message to where they go with it. But in the beginning, they were out of work, and so they decide to start up a daycare at one of their houses. And they get all these kids, but then they realize it's a lot of work to try and manage a bunch of preschoolers. And so they decide, one of them decides, you know what, if we just give them all the food and kinds of food that they want, they're really happy while they're eating that food. And that's basically not having any boundaries on what they take into their bodies, but look what the effect is.
Look at them, they love it!
Yeah, but I'm a little worried.
About what?
Stand there and say that. Look at this.
What goes up?
Okay. So just again, get in our heads a picture of what happens when there's no boundaries. And I heard all the children's workers laughing during those clips. Why was that? So obviously, and do we have kids in here? We do. Okay. So obviously, do you think if your mom said, you can eat all of this candy that you want to eat, do you think there'd be some bad effects to that, or do you think that'd be fun?
There would be bad effects to that.
Okay. Right. Good. Okay, I'm done. Yeah. So obviously, you know, throughout that movie, they start to learn that there are some healthy boundaries. But where I want to go this morning with boundaries and parenting is some of the motives and some of the reasons why we do that. Because I think as a parent, I've been a parent for 18 years now, and I think a lot of the time I've focused on behavior, right? And you get kind of hyper-focused on setting boundaries to get the desired behavior that you want. And you get so far down that track, you start to lose sight of why you're a parent and what the end goal is for your child down the road. So the first place I want to start with that is looking at God's design for the family and his reason for kids growing up in family and that being the desire that he has for that. Number one, God is love. Okay, we see that in scripture that he is love. He's a relational being, and he created family, and he interacts in the understanding of family. Okay, when he refers to or when he talks about the children of Israel in the Old Testament, he calls them the children of God. Okay, so the children of Israel, he's relating to them in the sense of his family. Okay, when the children of Israel continued in their sins, and the Father sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sins, what he was doing really was inviting or adopting us in, kind of like the song we sang this morning. And he adopted us in as children now of grace into that family. Okay, so that includes Jews who put their faith in Christ, but now also includes any of us who are not Jews around the world. And so we see this concept of family and we see this concept of God as Father throughout Scripture. Ephesians says, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Both here is referring to Jew and Gentile, Jew and non-Jew. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Okay? Why he created family was so that we could grow up. Okay, let's look at this. So now we've moved kind of through history very fast from the children of Israel to the church that he's established, and he's established the church to be his family, okay, for us to be his children, sons and daughters of God. But what does he hope to accomplish within that family? Ephesians 4, he who descended, Jesus, is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some. Now, I want you to look real closely at how he hopes to accomplish our maturing process, okay? How that plays out, and then I'm going to quiz you. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's extremely mature, right? Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay, so that very clearly is describing kind of the goal of the body of Christ or the church, okay? And what we're supposed to be accomplishing here as growing up as children of God. But how does that maturing process happen according to this? What's causing us to mature? What's causing you to mature as a part of the church? You can answer if you have a thought. Is it the pastors and teachers, evangelists and prophets?
No, it's speaking the truth in love.
Okay, speaking the truth in love, she says. Okay.
Doing the works.
Doing the works, okay? So you're telling me that the body of Christ doesn't mature from the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers?
Yes, it does.
Oh, Ken says it does. Well, we're going to talk about boundaries here within the family of God. Okay, so come on, guys. Wake up. I know it's the early service.
So,
okay, so maybe all of these parts play a part in it, right? Okay, so maybe we shouldn't just check out and say, okay, I come to church so that the pastors and teachers can teach me, the evangelists and prophets can give me the messages from God, and then I just mature, and I'm just going to come every Sunday and mature, and I'm going to come next Sunday and mature. But no, actually what they're accomplishing is getting you to do what? They're building you up, okay, so that you can do works of service. Okay, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. But where is it down here? Help me. Where'd it go? Where's the works of service? Does its work. Okay. Down here too, as each part does its work. Okay. So you're being built up as a body. But what's happening is as you're being built up, you're stepping into works of service. And it says up here, that's where it is. I just remembered. Yeah, right here. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So what we see here is God's heart for us as a church, okay? What your responsibility is when you read this verse is to say, how am I walking with God as Father, as a child, allowing him to grow me up in the body of Christ? Because it doesn't all rest on the pastors and prophets and teachers and worship leaders and children's ministry directors and whatever positions of those ministry service leadership positions are. It's actually every person in this room has giftings and service that they can bring. So that's stepping into that and actually using that is where the maturing process is going to happen. You guys stop giggling here in the front. Or I'm going to laser you. Okay. So, what I want to talk about as we move forward into this, though, is discipline. Okay? So, granted, we're going to talk for 30 minutes on the idea of boundaries in parenting. We're not even going to scratch the surface of that topic. Okay? But I want to hit a couple of key kind of key points, topics to what that looks like. And if you are a parent and you're just kind of right in the throes of parenting, whatever age your kids are, there's going to be some great resources that you can press further into this with. But let's look at the concept of discipline and what discipline means in Scripture, because we have to first look at our culture. And when we hear the word discipline, there's all kinds of different definitions or meanings or pictures that we have of what discipline looks like. And some of those might be positive, some of those might be negative as far as what we think of when we think of that word. Okay, there's actually, in Scripture, Hebrew and Greek, Old Testament, New Testament, a lot of the ways that that word is used and then translated into English in our Bible is teaching, training, instructing. Those are synonymous with the word discipline that we kind of put in there in our English Bibles. But there's a positive and a negative discipline, okay? So when it talks about positive disciplining, you know, fathers, train your children in the instruction of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6, I think, verse 4, when it's talking to fathers. Okay, that's a positive discipline. So positive discipline is being taught, this is how things work, okay? This is what's going to happen if you don't do this or you do this. Okay, that's an instruction or a training. And then there's some responsibility given for that person to do something with that discipline, with that training or instruction, okay? Negative discipline comes when, by our own choices, we either don't implement that training and instruction or we directly disobey it, and we kind of test the waters in this other direction. The negative discipline comes, which usually is just the consequence of not going in that direction of the discipline and the training that you've received. This is the cycle of walking with God. I mean, we can read all over in Scripture instruction that if we were to apply it in our lives, it would go well with us in our relationships, in just the way that we love each other, the way that we receive that love, and yet we don't always apply the discipline that's been given to us, the instruction and training and teaching. And then we have the discipline of those consequences that come when we don't follow through with that, just at a relational level. An example of positive-negative maybe would be little Susie. Hopefully there's not a Susie in here, but I'll just use Susie as an example. This isn't little Susie. This isn't little Sue. This is teenager Susie, okay? Teenager Sue is taught by her parents that bedtime's 10 o'clock, okay? Because you get up really early for school in the morning, and you've got tests and things, and you need to kind of have your body physically needs some rest. So we encourage you to go to bed at 10 o'clock, okay? Susie stays up until 1 a.m. on the phone, okay, regularly. And she's dragging at school. She can't do well on her tests. She's way behind on her schoolwork. And she's snoozing in class. And so a negative discipline would be to step in and say, Susie, we're going to take your phone for a couple of weeks until you can kind of get back into a habit of getting to bed when you need to have the rest that you need. So she received positive discipline in the beginning. She chose to not follow that. And then she was allowed to receive the negative discipline that can help train her in a different direction. Whoop, we don't want to do that yet. Sorry, Russ. We're going to do that in a second here. Another part about discipline is, as we move into kind of our next concept, it's talking about when the future is, okay? When you're training your child, and even for those of you who don't have kids, when you're being trained and instructed by the Lord as a son or daughter of God, the future is now, okay? The future and what the future is going to look like as you develop and mature and grow, what's happening right now is what's relevant to where you're going to be later. We're going to, you guys get the benefit of it being family service, okay? So next service, this place is loaded with kids, elementary kids, all the youth are in here. And so we build our messages for a family service. So you guys get to benefit from that too and watch little Andy Griffith. And from Andy Griffith, we're going to learn a little bit about two different pictures of parenting and how it's preparing these two different kids for the future.
Gosh, you must have been saving up for it since you was a kid. My dad bought it for me. Come on, Taylor, hop on the rack and I'll give you a ride.
I can't. I gotta get this garage cleaned up.
What happens if you don't?
I don't get my quarter this week.
Kids aren't supposed to work for their allowance.
My pa is awful busy. Maybe he hasn't heard this new stuff.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll ask him. Take it from me. Talking is a waste of time.
Uh-oh. Are you doing it up there, Mike? Can you fast forward it a little?
Talking is a waste of time. Perfect. You have to take action. Kicking a table leg, rolling around on the floor, kicking your feet, pretending you can't stop crying.
Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, for crying out loud, Taylor.
Hey, Arnold. Take it easy, Arnold. I didn't mean to say nothing wrong. Get the idea?
Hey! Stop that bike!
What's the matter?
You're not allowed to ride a bike on the sidewalk.
Oh, wow. watch it.
Doggone it, I warned him, and he deliberately rode on the sidewalk again.
Is that true, son? Did you hear Officer 5 warn you?
Yes, sir.
Young man, I'm going to have to take this bike and hold it.
You can't take my bike. It's my bike.
Now, you listen here, young fella. When an officer gives you a warning, you're supposed to mind.
Yeah, now get on off of there. Now go on home.
You'll see. I'm going to tell my dad. Hi, Pa.
Oh, hi, son.
Pa, can I talk to you about something I don't understand?
Sure, come on in.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice.
I just don't understand it, Pa.
What?
None of the other guys work for their allowance. I just don't want to work for my allowance.
No work, no allowance.
That's not fair!
Don't raise your voice to me. Now, you get on out of here. I got things to do.
What are you doing?
I was holding my breath.
Good lung exercise. Don't get your clothes all dirty.
Sheriff?
Yes, sir, you the boy's father?
That's right, Simon Winkler.
Andy Taylor.
Now then, what's this all about?
249A, section Roman numeral 5.
All right, so he rode his bike on the sidewalk.
Arnold was given a warning and continued to ride his bicycle on the sidewalk.
The offense was clearly defined under normal weather conditions.
Everybody's against me.
There, son.
Can't even have a little fun.
Was it such a crime?
Now, if we don't teach children to live in society today, what's going to happen to them when they grow up?
For heaven's sake, Sheriff, the boy's not a criminal.
The minimum punishment for this offense is impounding the bicycle for 1 year.
Well, you can't do it. I demand you return that bike, and now.
Now, you look here. You're that boy's father. You're responsible for his actions. Now, he's too young to be locked up. But if you're not going to take responsibility, maybe I ought to lock you up. You ever think of that?
Go on, put him in jail. He won't care. I don't want to lose my brand new bike. I just got it.
You'd rather I put your father in jail.
I want my bike!
Sheriff, there won't be any need to impound that bike.
How's that?
I'm going to sell it.
Sell it? You're going to sell my bike?
That's right, Arnold.
Yay! All right. See, Andy Griffith Show. That's the way TV used to be. So that's, you know, it's fun to watch that play out, but those are, you know, real life situations and two different tracks that parents take with their kids. You can kind of think ahead for Arnold, the spoiled boy. You know, how is he being prepared for the future right now when he's being parented in those boundaries? He's going to expect that if I throw a tantrum, I'm going to get a raise, you know, with my boss someday when I'm at work. Or how's that going to work out in his relationship with his wife or whatever relationships or situations that he finds, whereas Taylor's learning little work, good honest work, and you're going to get a little bit of money, and you're going to get more and more as you save up. My two youngest sons learned this lesson because I learned it from my parents, that everything that I had as a kid that was above and beyond, you know, they provided me with the basics and even extras. But if I wanted something big, you know, like a motorbike or things that were extra, I was free to get that. But it just meant that I was going to be chopping wood or doing things that I could to earn money, maybe working for a neighbor to buy that. And so my two youngest sons, Daniel and Micah, they like to team up on stuff a lot and save up for things. And they've been working for a long time to save up for a four-wheeler, an ATV. And just recently, about a month ago, they got it. And there they are. With their just coming home, it's in the back of the Madeira's truck there that they loaned us to pick it up still in the dark. And they got their ATV, a 1983 Suzuki LT125. And they ride that thing around our property, and they're learning how to fix it They just, I was gone for a couple days, and I came back, and they showed me how they learned how to tighten the brake. And but that is teaching them a lesson in what is it going to look like when I grow up. If I want something, and even when I need something, sometimes it's not going to just be given to me, but I'm going to have to work for it. An important concept that might be a little bit sensitive for people here that I want to talk about in relation to that is the conversation about being responsible to somebody versus for. And BJ touched on this a little bit last week in the area of coworkers, right? Being responsible to your coworkers, but not for them and their actions, and being able to have safe boundaries in how much work you take on from them. And I want to suggest, and you might argue with me, and I'm fine to have that argument, that yes, when your child is born and they're an infant, there's a responsibility for them. But at that moment, the journey begins for you to start handing off more and more responsibility to that child so that in the end, when they're mature and an adult, you're not responsible for your kids. You're responsible to them. And I think that handoff happens a lot earlier than some of us might think. That's been my experience in learning. I think that if you carry the four too long into their childhood, you start to feel the weight of their decisions every time they make a bad one. Okay? Somebody once told me that parents oftentimes take too much credit for their kids' good decisions and too much blame for their bad ones. Okay? And that's that shift of responsibility that needs to start happening early on in their lives to where you can say, I'm responsible to my kids. I'm responsible to shepherd them so that they know how to have meaningful relationships with people and with God, that they can reflect his image in this world. But I'm not responsible for what they do with my training and instruction. I was struggling with this very concept several years back in my parenting career, and I had 5 young kids at that time, and I was taking on a lot of the weight of being responsible for the choices they were making or whether they were obeying or the behaviors they were producing were the right behaviors that I thought they should be. And I remember spending some time with the Lord and just all that weight on me and feeling like I'm a failure as a dad. And the impression that I got as I kind of journaled and just spent some time with God and just kind of told him how I was feeling about my parenting and what kind of father I was, I felt like I heard this, and I wrote it down in my journal. And this is just kind of the impression I felt like I was getting from the Lord. I felt like he asked me a question, kind of just in my heart and mind. I wrote it out, and it was, Jeff, do you think I'm a good father? And I said, Yeah, you're like the perfect father, God. You are the perfect father. You're the perfect image and example of a father. And then I just heard, well, look at my kids. And as soon as I thought about that, that are his kids always exhibiting the perfect behavior? Are his kids walking in his ways? Sometimes. Sometimes not. But what I experienced from that interaction that I felt like I had with God, and that was just a special, powerful interaction where it really just a weight lifted off of me, not a weight of responsibility, okay? It didn't make me go, oh, I don't have to worry about what my kids do. No, not at all. And God worries too. God cares about what his kids do. But he doesn't carry the responsibility for what they do with the training and the discipline and the instruction that he gives them. They have to carry that part. They've got to start learning how to carry that part. And so that was a new perspective for me, to be responsible to my kids, but not responsible for everything they do, especially as they move up through the age. And that can start early. That can start even when they're 2 years old, you know, or maybe younger. You can start to teach them some responsibility, obviously age appropriate. A couple ways that might look, I got a few minutes left here. A couple ways that that might look, examples of that would be like a two-year-old, okay? So let's say you want to teach responsibility, and how do you teach a two-year-old to be responsible for themselves and start to carry just maybe a little bit of that four, okay? You might, one of the things that might be really important for them to start learning is when it's appropriate to say no, okay? Not teaching them to never say no. Because there's actually, as an adult, wouldn't you agree that there are actually some very appropriate places to be able to say no to people or no to things, okay? So we focus on, you know, don't say that word, don't say that. All they say is no. But maybe a boundary there would be, this is where you can say no and it's right, okay? If you're done with this activity, you're done, you know, maybe somebody's being too rough with you physically, they're wrestling with you and you had enough, and you'd be able to tell daddy, no, I'm done. That's enough. Okay? That's an appropriate no. And then, on the other side of that, you're also teaching a two-year-old how to receive no and when to receive that. Okay? We've all been in the grocery store when a parent's not saying no. I've probably been that parent before, okay? I look at those parents a lot differently now than I did before I had kids. And I knew that when I had my kids, they're never going to act like that in a grocery store, right? None of my kids are here right now, so. But just that ability to say no, and it's okay. And they might throw a tantrum, but if you just get that out of the way, you know, they're going to learn that the tantrum doesn't change the decision of the parent. Maybe for a 10-year-old, it's like my 10 and 12-year-old, the example I just gave. Okay, so teaching responsibility for. You want a four-wheeler? That's great. I remember having that conversation with them. And they knew that was coming. And maybe some of that's driven by finances. I don't have the money to buy them a four-wheeler. But even if I did, I would want them to learn how to save for it anyways. Okay, because that's a life skill that they're going to need. And so it was, you want a four-wheeler? Great. You know, I think you're going to need about $500 or so to get, you know, an older one that's going to work and do what you want it to do, okay? And so that's teaching them at an age-appropriate 10-year-old level, okay? When you have an infant and you want them to have a toy, you're not going to make them work for it, right? You know, pick up all the crumbs off the floor and eat them, you know, and then we'll give you a toy, you know, you're not going to do that. But for a 10-year-old, definitely you can start doing that. I mean, my kids started working for pocket change when they were pretty young, for their extra things that they wanted, and they loved it, and they learned how to budget, okay? They learned how to save a little bit, and they learned how to tithe, okay? And we didn't make them tithe. We just said, you know what we'd recommend? This is what we do. All this money comes from God, and we set a percentage of it aside. And they do that. My kids have done that since they were little, not because they're forced, but because they actually see that God provides work for them. My two kids watched somebody's cats while they were saving for this ATV. They watched somebody's cats for a couple of weeks, and the guy paid them $300. Okay? Immediately, they're like, okay, $30 is going into the tithe, and you know, and I'm just like, wow, they're going to get this ATV. This guy just like, but they're seeing the generosity of God, and they're exhibiting the generosity back. Maybe a teenager, imagine this, if you have teen kids, teaching responsibility and teaching them to be responsible for themselves, and you're responsible to them. What if at the beginning of the school year, you calculated out how much they're going to need for gas to get to school, and clothes, you know, new school clothes, and their school lunches, and all the expenses that they're going to need for that semester, and you give all that money to them right now and say, this is your money. Here's a budget. Here's about what you should probably spend in each of those categories if you want it to last. But this is your money. Spend it wisely. And you give it to them. If you're not doing things like that as their teens, what's going to happen in a couple of years if they're not learning how to budget? Okay? And then the other part of that, though, is being willing to allow them to go out and spend all their money on fidget spinners or whatever else. I hate those things. And waste their money, okay? Or spend it all on clothes and then Mom, Dad, I don't have any money for lunches. Well, you know what? There's some jobs around the house that need done that are extras you could work for, or you could go get a job, or and not saving them from that when they blow it, but being gracious. I think, boy, time flies. I think that overall, though, like what I started talking about, not just focusing on when you talk about boundaries with kids and parenting, not just focusing on the right behavior, the desired behavior you're trying to get, but remembering that as God parents us, it's about relationship. He's a relational God. And so relationship, establishing relationship with your kids, but also remembering that you're preparing them for the future. And you're preparing them to make a choice. It's not your responsibility for your kids to put their faith in Christ. Because you can't control that. Okay? You have a responsibility to God to show them the way and to live out your faith before them and to give them the opportunity to understand and know what it means to give their life to God and to follow him and to reflect his image wherever they go. Okay? But you can't make them put their faith in Christ. That's just another example of preparing them for the future, but then letting them carry that decision and where they go with that. So motivations being, shepherding, just some of the key points that we hit this morning. Maturity is God's desired outcome for all family members, okay? So this morning, again, if you're not a parent, don't walk out of here and take nothing from this, but maybe spend some time thinking about, how is God trying to mature me right now? I love what Adelphia had to share about their school and the kind of taking time out and space. And what that really is a space for maturing, I think, for people in that stage of life. Allowing God to bring a further depth of maturity as you head into the rest of adulthood. Parents, maybe this morning is just taking a check and saying, you know what? As we go through this Radiant series, I realize there's some areas where my radiance is being diminished because I'm hyper-focusing on certain things, or I'm not initiating boundaries where they need to be. There's some great resources. I'll put a couple of resources up here of how you could get more training in that. Maybe you're a child in here. Alice. You're the only child in here, so I got to speak to you. If you're a child in here this morning, maybe you could be thinking about, do you understand what responsibility means? Like, if you break something, it's okay. But let's say you break it on purpose because you're mad, and you break a spoon. Okay? So you bend a spoon because you're mad. Now you're responsible for that. That means you bent it, you got to fix it. And bending it back might not fix it. You might have to pay for it. So maybe if you're a kid, you're thinking about, are there areas in my life where I can start to take responsibility for my choices? We all make bad choices, but do we take responsibility for what comes? Okay? So that's learning to walk with God, right? I had a cool elk hunting story, but I don't have time to tell it. You can come to second service. Maybe I'll squeeze it in. I think I'm going to do offering here.